Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for March 22nd, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff diving this week. We got a bunch of crazy news. We'll dive into a bit of the two big superhero things that came out last weekend, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and the Snyder Cut, aka Zack Snyder's Justice League, later on in the episode. But unfortunately, we have to kick things off again this week with sad news. We lost two huge comedic actors, character actors, just legendary actors. So George Segal and Jessica Walter both passed away this week.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Just, like, I know I haven't seen a lot of Goldbergs, but basically, like, the fandom cried out on that one. And then just when everyone was kind of like, okay, like, still recovering, then just Jessica Walters comes out and, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously George Segal, like, most recently was Pops on the Goldbergs for, I think it's, like, 8 seasons in now. I'm assuming, like, I don't know if most of this current season was shot, because, I don't know, they're gonna figure out, like, the sad way of, like, writing him off the show, if it's not finished yet, but, yeah, along with that, if you throw all the way back, like, one of his, like, I think the thing that, like, put him on the map was, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, like, one of the all-time greatest dramas.
That wasn't a comedy, though, right?
No, that was, like, a stage play drama, like...
I've heard about that, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, I saw it last year because I was working my way through, like, the AFI 100, so that's on there somewhere. I forget what number it is, but... Yeah, so it's also the first movie that directed by Mike Nichols, who directed, like, The Graduate and a bunch of other stuff, so... And it was also, like, Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton movie. It's pretty much just, like, this couple invites this other couple over, and then, like, the one couple just destroys each other. Like, just, like, drinking and, like, yelling at each other and, like, tearing each other down. And
great.
it was a big, like, stage play, and they got turned into a movie. Another deep cut George Segal one is Roller Coaster, where he was, like, I think he was the safety inspector for a theme park, and then a bomber put a bomb on a roller coaster car, and then it was sort of Speed-esque, but in, like, the 70s, and it was like, if you don't give me the money, I'm gonna blow up this roller coaster.
Okay, I mean, it sounds scary, and people loved roller coasters back then.
Yeah. Oh, the original Fun with Dick and Jane is also a big one from the 70s for him.
Never seen that one.
It was him and Jane Fonda. Look Who's Talking. I think, was he in all of them or just the first one? I can't remember. He's the one who, like, knocks up Christy Alley, and then, like,
and then,
like,
just,
I'm out.
They don't bring it up ever again in the rest of the series.
Yeah. And then another huge thing for him in the 90s was obviously Just Shoot Me.
Did he play the boss?
Yeah, I believe he was, like, the boss of wasn't it a magazine? They worked for, it was, everyone worked for, it was, like, I always want to think, I think I confused that in, like, News Radio, because, like,
I always confused that in, like, Suddenly Susan.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, yeah, Just Shoot Me was, like, a fashion magazine or something, and, like, he was, like, the editor of it, I think, or something, or, like, the editor-in-chief or whatever, I think.
That was the one with Paul Reiser, right?
That was David Spade and, like,
Oh my god.
Enrico Colantoni and...
I think I am confusing it with Suddenly Susan then.
Yeah.
You're right. He had a long career of just being like in comedy, so...
Yeah, especially into the 80s and 90s, like, it was definitely, like, he kind of, like, really went into, like, comedy stuff, like, either, like, guesting on shows or movies or, and then, like, yeah, Just Shoot Me was, like, for like, however many years, like, from 97 to 2003, he was on every episode, basically, so. And then, yeah, and then it's been, like, 8 years of the Goldbergs, so.
As so playing the beloved grandfather that just...
Yes.
I'm not sure he kept getting into trouble, because every episode I always caught was, like, him trying to, like, not scheme, but just, like, always being, like, the guiding advice in the family.
Yeah, he would, like, do a lot of advice, and he was also, like a ladies' man, and he would, like, he was, like, very, like, he was, like, a swinging senior guy, just, like, making cocktails and, like... So yeah, so definitely R.I.P. to George Segal. Then also, I mean, Jessica Walter, just obviously huge, huge, especially recently. I mean, the double punch of Arrested Development and Archer is just like she could have just done those two things and been like a legend. But yeah, she's been acting since like the like 50s, like. I was going through she at least guest starred or like had a recurring role in like pretty much every major like 70s 80s show like Love Boat and like Trapper John MD and like YFIVO and Barbie Jones and Ironside and Columbo Mannix. But the one crazy one that I was like just going through her IMDb before we started is the like 70s Doctor Strange movie.
She was in that?
Yeah, she was Morgan Le Fay in that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, Archer and Arrested Development are just like those are just like kind of tower over everything else, especially recently.
Yeah, it's definitely a comedy that, like, defies a generation. Like, no one's going to forget Archer for a while.
Yeah. I think the good, like, the, like, thankfully, apparently, like, the cast of Archer finished, like, their voice recording already. So we are going to get one more full season of Mallory on Archer next whenever that
comes out.
Yeah, it's gonna be, like, very, very bittersweet. Yeah, is there? Do you between like Mallory Archer and Lucille Booth? Do you have a favorite, Chris? Or
I don't know. They share similar things, but I think Mallory Archer is just more versatile because she's like Lucille Booth, but then like has a career as like a spy, and she was like a good spy.
Yeah.
Like my favorite though is like her in the season where she's harassing her like. And Archer, there's this part where Mallory's harassing her, like, handyman, the Irish guy. Mm-hmm. And she says, like, oh, like you have the Irish dilemma. Do you drink the potato? Do you eat the potato or do you distill it into whiskey? Like, it's just so, like, abnormally racist out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, like, it's something where Lucille Booth has a different comedy thing, but it's more like a classism. You know,
yeah.
Like she's not worldly. She's just like is just a snob. Mm-hmm. Though my favorite bit has been her winning the drinking contest.
An Archer?
No. In Arrested Development.
Oh yeah.
Where she outdrinks like the assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, that was a drinking contest, and then she like pounds back a shot. Goes, well, that one didn't count.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many amazing quotes between both those shows. Like, you could just, like, do, like, an hour of just, like, quoting Lucille, quoting Mallory, but... Yeah, two huge losses to, like,
comedy
world and, yeah. Like, just acting in general, so RIP to both of them. So, moving on, I don't know if it was because of Zack Snyder's Justice League coming out last weekend, or just something else in general, but, like, there's a ton of DC movie news happening this week. So first up, the Justice Society of America is finally complete for the upcoming Black Adam movie. Pierce Brosnan is going to be Dr. Fate.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Well, thinking about Dr. Fate is you could change avatars, like, a lot. So
yeah.
Even if Pierce is only in it for the first movie.
I mean, I don't like. I mean, maybe he's just gonna do a voiceover and not even show his face, like just have the mask on the whole time.
I could see that.
Because Dr. Fate like never takes off his like helmet really, because that's this whole thing. That's like all his power comes from his helmet, right? So
yeah, he's definitely not putting on that costume. But if he does, I'd give him credit.
Yeah,
I give Pierce credit if he just donned it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, like, I don't think Dr. Fate is he British? I don't think he's British, but again, I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, I guess no one really cares that much about Dr. Fate, I guess. So it's probably fine. Like, yeah, he could just be, like, some British guy that found the helmet. And it's also, whenever in the past of the DC extended universe, so they could be like, oh, he's the original one, he's British, now there's another one later on, I don't know.
Now it's a woman, or sometimes that happens.
Yeah. It's just like whoever puts the helmet on, it's Dr. Fate, basically.
Which is kind of a dick thing, if you think about it. It's like, I'm not sure in the storylines, if basically Dr. Fate, like, you become the Dr. Fate because of a, you had to, you know, because a, an emergency, you just need the power. Or if you just, like, put on this helmet because you think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the Lantern Ring where it calls to you.
Yeah.
But it could.
Mm-hmm. And two James Bonds in the world of DC now, because Timothy Dalton is on Doom Patrol, so... Gotta get Daniel Craig in there. He's got to play a DC character.
Daniel Craig is the Swamp Thing. they have a good Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. They need, like, man beasts.
Yeah. Etrigan the Demon. Just have Daniel Craig talking rhymes the entire time.
I think that'd be funny.
So, we also got some news about the upcoming Flash movie. And there wasn't a reason yet for why it's being recast, but Ron Livingston is replacing Billy Crudup as Henry Allen in the upcoming Flash movie.
I think maybe because they're doing a Flashpoint and he's slightly different.
maybe. I mean, I guess they could do, like, that could be the explanation. Just like, oh, Dad, you're different now. But Billy Crudup was in both versions of Justice League. Definitely had more to do in the Zack Snyder version. And then it's also apparently this movie is going to be the one that, like, introduces the multiverse. Like, there's been the whole thing of, like, oh, Michael Keaton's Batman's going to be in this movie. And then also they're introducing, like, their, like, the DC movie version of Supergirl in this movie. And all sorts of other craziness apparently happening. Yeah, Flashpoint is going to possibly happen or something. But yeah, Ron Livingston's fine. I'm sure he'd be like he'll be a good, like, sad jail dad.
Yeah, just put him in a jumpsuit and a scruffy beard, and, you know, just like, oh, I'm your dad now. Like, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No offense to, you know, the dad character, but you're just hanging out in the prison first. It's not like going to flash back to the incident, like the TV Flash.
Mm-hmm. Just throw John Wesley Shipp in there again. Just like,
why not?
Yeah,
I'd be fine with that. That'd be fun.
And then we also found out this week that Helen Mirren is going to be the bad guy for Shazam 2. Or is it? It's a Shazam, like, Wrath of the Gods or something? Or Oh, Fury of the Gods. Shazam Fury of the Gods is the second one that's coming up. And she's going to be playing Hespera, who is the daughter of Atlas. So playing, so still in that, still in like the Shazam, like Greek gods, mystical world. So.
I mean, I never really read that many Shazam comics, so.
Yeah.
Get a word for it.
I don't. Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't think actually, like, Hespera is not actually like a character in the comics. I don't think they're just like, oh, this is. I mean, this is sort. It's sort of. It's like Greek mythology. That she's a character in Greek mythology. That's fine, right?
Was she in God of War?
I don't think so. No. But yeah, I mean, I think yeah, Zachary Levi's back. And I can't remember who. Oh yeah, David S. Sandberg's coming back to direct, so it's basically the same team as the first one. So, and I think I'm not sure. I think it's has like a maybe like a next year release date. Like I think there's sure like 2022 on that one. So, we'll have to see. I mean, the first Shazam was fun, so hopefully it'll be this one will be as fun as that first one. And then last bit of DC news is that we got some news about a Zatanna movie, which is coming. And it's going to be written by Emerald Fennell, who is the director of Promising Young Woman, which is the Oscar-nominated Best Picture nominee. And I believe she's not. I think she's nominated for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay as well. So... yeah, Emerald Fennell, lots of potential Oscars coming, and then and apparently she is, writing a Zatanna movie. It's not clear if she's gonna direct it yet or anything, but and no casting for Zatanna or like what the story is gonna be. I feel like Zatanna, like, solo, like, you don't really hear about Zatanna solo stuff. It's always, like,
her
like,
teaming
just,
up.
Yeah, Justice Dark. She's always, like, Justice Dark or, like, teaming up with Constantine or, like, when she, like, or in the Justice League as, like, as a, just, a member of them.
Right. I mean, it could. You can kind of go through her origins, her father, how she got her power.
Yeah.
Her day job as, like, a magician and then crime fighter. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like the same thing as Constantine problem where basically like he, because what they fight is so secretive, like they're just not accepted by the real world. But Zatanna is one of the only people that is like, has a day job, like a recognizable day job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like watching David in our reality. It's like watching David Blaine or David Copperfield fight demons. You're just like, wait, what? Like, you find that out? Like, that just becomes like a news story.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It's a lot of potential if they set it up pretty interesting, where, like, you know, she's kind of this world-famous magician that has to, like, sneak away and fight evil.
So, yes, I guess we'll hopefully get some more news about that soon, and then we'll find out who is playing Zatanna, and then maybe if this is going to lead into, like, a... Because I think they're still talking about making Justice League Dark the movie, so... maybe if this gets made, maybe this will lead into that. She'll, like, find, like, the rest of the team or something as like, a post-credit scene or something, maybe. Or, like, John Cassidy just shows up and is like, "Oi, love! I heard you do magic!"
Ooh, that'd be fine. They should get, like, what's his face as Constantine from the TV show?
Matt Ryan. I mean, I feel like anything Constantine, you have to, like, at least ask him. But I think they've said like he's not gonna be the movie Constantine. They're gonna cast it or something.
Oh, come on, Matt Ryan. He's born to be that role now.
Yeah. So, moving on, we got some Disney news as well, some Disney Plus news. So, there is officially going to be a National Treasure show on Disney Plus. although it's not going to have Nicolas Cage, or at least not start like. It's not clear if there's like possibly room for like him to like show up as a cameo or something, but it's not gonna have follow his character. It's gonna be a new character exploring, like whatever crazy secret American history. And yeah, it's Jess Morales, who's a 20-year-old Latina, and she has a diverse group of friends who sets out to find like her mysterious family history and lost treasure.
I'm just thinking what kind of national treasure part comes in.
What secret is left out there? Because like we had
aliens, maybe.
Like there's a map and declaration, and then that led to like a secret treasure, and that like the Knights Templar treasure or whatever the first one, and then like the Book of Secrets that led to the secret like vault in like Mount Rushmore.
So it was like, booby trapped to hell.
Yeah. So it's like what landmark and like what is there? That's like the main thing.
I mean, we could talk about like weird. I don't know. See, like the more you go down, it gets to like Scooby-Doo territory of like American myths, where it's like, yeah. I don't know, like they're chasing down like train tycoon buried money somewhere, like the mysterious like trains of the West that just went gone when the cars show up. Or, like, yeah, they're looking for Tom Edison, like, patents.
Yeah.
Also, didn't they... See, the first movie did such a grand hiding of Templars and misdirections and, like, secret society with, like, big-name ties with big-name people.
Yeah.
It kind of goes into the Assassin's Creed territory of, like, how big this conspiracy goes. Mm-hmm. And the one thing about that was it was, like, it was continual. It was like everyone contributing wealth and continuing to like put it into it. And now I'm like, so there was two vaults with money, and then
yeah,
now there's gonna be three vaults of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they're still trying to work on a actual like third movie with Nicolas Cage, which has been in development like for like forever since the second one came out. So apparently they're still working on that, and then the show is gonna be in addition to that.
It's set in the same universe.
It's the show, like the quote is like it's a reimagining of the National Treasure franchise. So I don't know if that means it's like its own separate thing, or if possibly at the end of like this first season, like this is the show, like Nicolas Cage shows up just like I need your help, young adventurers, like. But yeah, I guess it seems like they're gonna be there, but mostly like their own separate. This is gonna be its own separate thing. And then the movie, like if this third movie comes out, it'll be its own thing with Nicolas Cage.
Is Nicolas Cage like overwriting the history? He gets meta. He's like, I have to steal the franchise back.
Well, he's already doing like that meta movie where he's playing himself and he's like reenacting his movies for like that like Mexican drug lord or whatever is coming out soon.
Oh yeah.
I think so that's like the meta Nicolas Cage adventure or whatever. But we also got a bunch of news about future theatrical releases and what's going to be on Disney Plus for Premier Access, what's not going to be Premier Access. So, Black Widow is delayed again. It's coming out July 9th now. But it's also going to be a Premier Access movie, so it's going to be in theaters July 9th, but also $30 Disney Plus. You could buy it on Disney Plus and have it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you buy it and own it, and then what happens after it becomes regular? Do you get your money back? No.
So it's basically if you want to buy it early, you can buy it. It gets added to your Disney Plus. It doesn't expire. It's not a rental. It doesn't expire. If you stop your Disney Plus subscription though, then it's gone. You don't have it anymore. So
that to me is like you didn't buy it.
Yeah, you're like licensing it from Disney. And then they also said. Cruella is also going to be a Disney Plus, Premier Access theatrical release. And I think they moved that to later as well. Like, that's coming out in, like, oh, no, Cruella still has its original date, which is May 28th. So, but that's, yeah, but that's going to be a Disney Plus Premier Access / theatrical movie. Luca, the new Pixar movie, is going to be, was going to be June 18th. Now it's going to be no extra fee, Disney Plus only.
I wonder why. They were so hardcore about this Disney Plus Premier Access they just backed off of it.
They're really, like, Pixar movies are just, like, apparently there's, like, I don't know what the thing about Pixar movies is, that, like, all of them have been, like, Disney Plus with no Premier Access. Like, Onward, Soul, and now Luca were all just Disney Plus only now, and you don't have to pay, like, there's no Premier Access for those. And then some other Disney / Fox shuffling. Shang-Chi is going to be September 3rd this year now. It was going to be that July 9th date, but that Black Widow bumped it out of there. Free Guy is going to be August 13th. The King's Man is going to be December 22nd. And Death of the Nile got bumped to next year, February 11th, 2022 is Death of the Nile now.
I'm just thinking, what's going to happen when they want to do a follow-up, and it's like, is the momentum still carrying that franchise?
Death and Denial?
Yeah, Death and Denial.
Well, I mean, the first one didn't really have that much momentum to begin with.
So. I know, and they're just like, well, it's still a sequel, too. Just, okay.
The only thing it's going for is, like, it's just, like, the cast is always just, like, ridiculous of, like, everyone's in it. So yeah. That's the reason to watch it is just, like, oh, like these 20 people in this movie, and they're all, like, A-listers? Okay.
Oh, yeah, one of them is super guilty.
Yeah. And then Kenneth Branagh with his crazy mustache. I feel like there was, like, was there a trailer? I think there was, like, one trailer, like, last year for that movie, and then we have not seen anything from it since.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, the plot where it's, like, someone's on the boat that gets killed.
Yeah, he, like Pierrot is on, like, vacation in, like, Egypt, and then someone gets murdered, so it's like, oh, are you killed Pierrot? Like, we need your help. Oh, wait, I gotta double check. I wonder if they're gonna, like, change anything on that too, because, like, Armie Hammer starring in that movie, that's not good right now.
Ooh, Armie Hammer is, like, unbankable.
No, yeah, he's done basically. like he's, like, possibly, like, allegedly, like, a rapist cannibal. So, like,
it's one thing to be, like, something, but not when you start combining shit.
Yeah. I wonder if they're gonna pull, like, a like Kevin Spacey and, like, that, like, All the Money in the World thing, where, like, they got, like, where they put Christopher Plummer in it instead, like, they just reshot all the scenes with, like, Christopher Plummer was there instead.
Right, right, yeah.
I wonder if that's, like, the delay of the next year is, like, put someone else in there. Like, we have to digitally insert someone else into the scene.
We have to make Burr in this movie and try again.
But yeah, but that's what you can look forward to on Disney Plus and in theaters for Disney in the next couple months here. So last bit of news for this week is that we found out that Netflix is going to be making a movie and an anime series, I guess, in the vein of, like, Castlevania, based on Berserker, which is the Keanu Reeves co-written comic book from Boom Studios. And the character is based on Keanu, and Keanu's going to star in the movie and also voice the character in the anime series.
All simultaneously while filming this. He's, like, voicing characters between sets of the live action, probably.
Well, you can bang out the anime in, like, a couple, like, you can probably record that a couple days. So, I mean, yeah, the live action movie is gonna be a much bigger thing probably. But yeah, you said you read the first issue, right, Chris?
I did, and it was interesting, and it's pretty much like every Hobbit character the last 10 years that was like immortal and like hard to kill and has like a shady past, like a very like, oh, my past is super complicated because I lived so long.
Yeah, he's like 80,000 years old.
Yeah, he's like been around since like around civilization of man, not the dawn of man, but just like, oh, we've invented like clubs and shit, mm-hmm. and like weapons, and he's just been like a weapon. In the first issue they don't go so much into his history just yet. They do a brief like, oh, this is how badass he is.
Well, isn't part of like, doesn't he work for the government? And the government like gives him like bits of like his past or something, like because they know like,
yeah, that's like is one thing to control him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they give him bits and pieces so he can remember certain parts, but there's also like a lot of control because right now like they have him wrangled, but definitely like, you know, something. They've done something to him.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he's like just like a weapon you point at and pull the trigger, and he just goes and does like a one-man army thing. And it's reminds me of like Winter Soldier more than Wolverine right now, because okay. he's more of like a killing machine that like he doesn't really go by rage, like super berserker. But yeah, I mean he does, but it's more like because he's got a goal and he's being dragged along by the government, and then he has a little bit of like self-doubt, you know, like he's not just like, oh, why am I doing this? He's more like, I just want, like he has an end goal,
mm-hmm.
of why he's doing it. So that's a little different, but it's, if you like any of those characters, like Bloodshot, Wolverine, Winter Soldier, the old guard, just mush them all together in one character.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like another immortal character from another series, like the Punisher. Just now he's like unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if DC has like a character. Like I'm like.
Berserker, like his name is, they just call him Berserker, or is he an actual name?
He's got an actual name. I think Berserker is just like a code word.
Okay. Well, is it like old guard style where like he like dies but then comes back, or is he just like impervious to everything? He just like goes through everything.
Actually, he gets injured a lot, and he's able to muster through it. And his healing process is a little more complicated because mm-hmm. I feel like it's part like. He can heal naturally, but I think they do like accelerate it where they have to bring him back to like HQ to like repair him. But even then, it's not as bad because it's just like, oh, this is burnt. We'll just chop it off and you'll regrow it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm watching him in the comic, and he's just like, he still like is able to bleed. Like he's not healing on the fly. Like he's very just like, he just can't stop. Like he'll take damage, but he'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So like in Berserker, I think it's more like the Norse term of Berserker, where he's so full of rage and so full of like adrenaline, and just like he's just mindset is so like, I have to kill and that's it. Like when he turns that on, he just like goes and becomes like a true Berserker. But mm-hmm. when he like comes back to his home base and stuff, and like they're just kind of debriefing him, he really is just like, oh shit, like I got to sit here and heal. Like, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a constant war machine, at least in the first issue. But I imagine, you know, as the series goes on, it's going to be more explained where his power comes from and stuff. Oh, also, his eyes turn, like, blue.
Okay.
When he's engaged in combat, and, like, it's more like when he's building up to being a berserker. Like, his whole eyes change. So that's, mm-hmm. like, different. But it's pretty badass, like. The character isn't 100% original, but it's totally itches that like violent character need that I forget Boom Studios can have, because Boom Studios is known for like the Power Rangers, like the Power Rangers comic. So it's like, oh, this is super violent.
Yeah, and then having actually have Keanu star in the movie of it, because
he's
the character and like is the basis, and like hopefully some like, you know, like some John Wick style, but like, yeah, but like if John Wick could just like absorb like all the damage and just like keep going.
It is like John Wick style, but it's not as smooth. The combat is just him rushing you, and if you shoot him, he still takes it and keeps like punching.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, he's not quite elegant. He's just like, I'm just going to tank the damage.
Mm-hmm. So look forward to both those things coming to Netflix sometime in the near future here. I'm assuming probably after, because like, I think the comic is going to come out in single issue. Like the first issue's out now. It's going to be out for like the rest of the summer or like into the summer. And then the trade's going to be out in October. So probably, I'm assuming maybe after the trade comes out, like they're probably starting shooting movies soon, but like, these will probably come out until like after the trade would come out, I would imagine, just like, so people don't get cause like if the movie came out before, like they finished the store, like the issues, then that'd be like not good, but.
Well, technically, Berserker's supposed to come out like a while ago.
I think you remember, like it got delayed or something, or like there's been like a delay between like the first issue and the second issue, but maybe or something, right?
Yeah. So now that they saw the time for it, and then they saw the potential, like everyone's trying to like jump on the opportunity now.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Immortal Warriors, Chris, let's jump on the show and tell. And you and I saw Highlander for the latest Everything Action commentary.
Yes, we did.
Because Highlander was celebrated its 35th anniversary earlier this month, so we watched it, the cult classic, along with some special guests, Chris Ali and our friend Adam. And it's up on the site right now. I think there's definitely some discussion about if Highlander is actually good or not.
Adam was very adamant that it wasn't.
Yes.
And I would say I agree. It's like a mixed bag of good and bad.
I would say it's probably not good, but it's fun. It's more fun than good.
I agree.
Like there's a lot of elements that like you can't like. Sean Connery is fantastic in it. Like Clancy Brown as the Kurgan is amazing.
Those two are making like a different movie.
Yeah. Like the Queen soundtrack really does a lot to like elevate things, especially like Prince of the Universe is like one of the greatest songs of all time. So,
but that's like, yeah, Adam's right. Like the context of why, you know, like, oh, it's got this weird,
there's a lot of flashbacks.
A lot of flashbacks
that just show up randomly.
I feel like the one flashback that really takes it out is the comedy part.
Yeah, like the Hamilton duel, but it's just like the wacky like duel where like he just keeps getting shot
or stabbed.
Yeah, it's also that's also weird too because like that comes up like before like the Scotland story still has to be finished. Like there's still more of the Scotland story, but then they just like cut to like this random like whatever like 1800s like duel segment. And then the one random like World War II segment where he like rescues like his weird like adopted daughter,
which is fine, like because that was more of a character, but it's still this weird character we quite don't know yet, and even when we know the character, we still can't figure out how everything works.
Yeah,
like do we ever figure out what the quickening is? Like we just kind of like glanced over that.
So yeah, when they kill an immortal, that the quickening happens and they absorb like their like power or whatever. But then it's like the quickening like like causes like things to explode all around them. So it's like where what like what is causing all these explosions, and like the first one like where like Connor's like in the garage and he kills like the weird like gymnastic white businessman guy. Like
cool opening, you know, yeah. But then it's like in context it just it's a little yeah. silly.
Yeah, when he kills him, and then, like, every single car in the garage he's in explodes. Like, all the windows explode, and, like electricity is exploding everywhere. And, like, the fire hose, like, rips off the wall, and it's just, like...
And then they're fighting to know things?
They're fighting for the prize, which you find out is, like, you...
Mortality?
Yeah, you become mortal, but then you can, like, hear every single person's thoughts in the world.
And then he's like, well, I'm going to, like, save the world. I'm going to,
like, help scientists talk to each other who don't speak the same language or something. Like,
I'm going to change everything so everything was worth it to this point of life. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What cruel god made these rules? Like, and then, you know, that's all abandoned by the sequels. Like, everything kind of falls apart.
Well, yeah. Everything gets reversed in 3 because, like, Mario Van Peebles was, like, locked in a cave, so he comes out, and it's like, oh, the contest is back on. Like,
but then wouldn't it just be around, like, those two?
Yeah, it comes, like, Mario Van Peebles comes out in 3, and it's like, oh, you gotta fight again. Like, the prize is reversed or something.
Okay, so that made sense, where basically if one shows up, it unbalances it?
Yeah, but then, like, the show, it was just, like, endless other immortals, so it's like... It's just never it. Like, it, the first one, like, is like, oh, you won, but not really, because it's just like there's like thousands of other immortals out there.
Well, it holds up for like being fun. It's exactly the kind of fun action-y movie.
Yeah,
that feels a little dated at times, but
well, it's also interesting too for like time, because like it's like mid 80s, like we were like firmly in like the like Commando, like Arnold Stallone, like explode, like shoot 'em up explosion era, and then this one's all about swords, so that was kind of like, it's like, kind of like a fun like differentiator for like the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, no one has really a gun, so that made it different.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed the silliness of, like, everyone always carrying swords around to fight.
Yes.
Just, oh, if you do battle, hold on, let me make sure no one's around.
Let's use our antique swords that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Oh, and I think we also talked about, like, how Christopher Lambert dresses like he looks like he's a serial strangler.
Like, oh, he's wearing like murder gloves and
in
a 80s trench coat.
But then Chuck Taylor like basketball shoes. Like,
yeah, he looks like he just like was a kid's idea of a grown up.
Yeah. I'm wearing my sneakers and that trench coat and gloves. And I think, wasn't he wearing like two different kind of gloves? Like he was wearing like one leather glove and like one black glove or something.
I didn't notice that detail.
I think at some point he was, yeah.
But I mean, it's one of those things where it's been so ingrained,
yes,
in pop culture, and people remember it fondly enough to be like, it's a fun idea.
Yeah, it still has a ton of like cultural relevance. Like everyone knows, like there can only be one, and Sean Connery and all the Queen songs. And
but here's the thing, and here's one I totally forgot until we were watching it. Was like, so the term Highlander was just for him. Everyone else is not a Highlander.
Christopher Lambert is the only Highlander because he's from the Highlands of Scotland. Everyone else
people refer to Highlander movie, like everyone who refers to that is like Highlander. So it's like, no, just Christopher Lambert is the Highlander. So it should be called The Highlander, not Highlander.
Yeah.
That's the confusing part. Now I'm like, oh shit, it's actually called, like, it should be called Highlander.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Connor McLeod is an immortal. Because everyone's immortals. Connor McLeod's an immortal, but he also happens to be a Highlander from the Highlands of Scotland.
Now I'm wondering if everyone's referred to as immortals because that's what they call themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, growing up, I always thought they were just Highlanders.
Yeah.
I can't be the only one. Like, know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. I'm sure that became a thing. Or just like, oh, all the Highlanders are showing up. Like.
quick, get the Highlander, like, alarm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's on Prime Video. I think it's also on Peacock and Tubi, but those have ads, so you'd have to, like, pause our commentary on those and, like, or and kind of, like, figure that out. Prime Video is probably the best choice, or if you have a DVD or Blu-ray copy of it. And then, yes, head over to the site, sync it up with our commentary, watch along with us. You can play a drinking game if you want. We kind of, like, kind of did a drinking game.
It's hard.
Yeah. If we were sort of half doing it. Like, if you really did it, focused on it, and did it, you'd be dead. But yeah, so that was that. And then I think both of us saw the first episode of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right, Chris? Like the new C+ MCU show. Yeah, they didn't do a WandaVision thing where they didn't do multiple episodes. It was just one episode to kick things off. Well, I think the whole show is only going to be 6 episodes long. So.
Oh, I thought it was like at least 8.
Yeah, it's very short, 6 episodes. It's like basically a 3-hour movie. I think because the first episode was like 40 minutes or something. So hopefully maybe this length of each episode, or it's gonna be like The Mandalorian, where it's like gonna be like half an hour, 20 to 30 minute episodes from now on. But a lot of setup. There was a really awesome action sequence with the Falcon to kick things off, and then it was kind of just like a lot of character setup and like explaining it, like showing like they're both like what Bucky and Sam are doing, and they don't even have a scene together in the first episode, which is kind of like strange because it's like their show but they don't interact at all. Hopefully that's pretty soon. Like hopefully like this like this week's
hopefully episode, they know about each other.
I mean they know about each other. Like I think there was a line where like was it like Bucky was like ignoring Sam's text or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess Sam's working for the government and like doing like just whatever classified missions for them. Like he has to rescue like a captured like army officer or something. They got kidnapped by the Batroc the Leaper, who's back.
And we don't even know if he is around more.
I think he jumped out before the helicopter exploded, so GSP will probably be back at some point. And then Bucky is in therapy and he's like trying to like make him like he's like either like getting Hydra people arrested or like trying to make amends for like people that he like murdered their family members of.
Yeah, he's got his own like apology list.
Yeah. And then there's like a new group. It was like the LAF or something. It's like rise like building. They're like a kind of like an anarchist like a terrorist organization. And then like they're like robbing banks and like doing like a bunch of other stuff. So that's like it's like the big threat. Which if you saw the trailers, like I think it's safe to assume that like Zemo's behind LAF.
Yep.
And there's at least one superpowered person in that group because like he like almost like kills like Sam's like liaison guy.
I just think that guy kind of had no plan and it showed really, you know, like
yeah,
I'm just gonna like go and say like you're under arrest. And it's like what? That was your plan.
I'm gonna go to this terrorist flash mob. Yeah, I think like the superpower guy is supposed to be Flag Smasher, maybe.
I guess.
And then we find out we meet Sam's family. Like he has a sister, and then like his family was like apparently like Louisiana, like shrimp boat people, like shrimp boat captains, and then like they were like seafood. I don't. Did they say they wanted to make a restaurant, or they had a restaurant? I don't like. It was,
no, I think they want to make a restaurant.
Yeah, and they were like, because Sam was gone in the blip, or like, in the snap, like they were like in like financial trouble, and then now he's back trying to like help them like get a loan or like get some sort of like keep because like his sister wants to sell the boat and. So there's all that. There's like the family drama going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big thing at the end is there is a new Captain America, because Sam relinquished, he gives up the shield. He gives the shield to like Smithsonian, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
one of those museums.
Yeah, he gives the shield up. There's a whole big Captain America exhibit at like the Smithsonian or wherever it is. But then like the government like makes a like dubs a new Captain America.
And the part I don't understand is like Sam's kind of like saddened, but it's like, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah. I think this new Captain America is actually going to be turned into like U.S. agent. Yeah.
I saw that coming.
So yeah, I'm sure this new episode that's coming that is out, if you're hearing this, I'm sure we'll probably get more of this new Captain America. Hopefully Sam and Bucky will actually like be in the scene together. And Sharon Carter's supposed to be back too. Soon, I think. So lots of stuff hopefully happening. I thought it was a solid episode to start things off with.
Yeah, definitely gets you motivated. It definitely introduces enough concepts and brings both characters to like a good pace, because it's like the next episode, I don't need to know what Sam was up to. It's like you're up to speed.
Yeah.
Though I just can't figure out the sister, because she was super like, how dare you try to help me?
Yeah. You get snapped away by an alien warlord and you have to come back and help us. Like.
I get it. It's like, it was hard for her to accept, but it's like, okay, no, yeah. But you need the help. Like, this reality you're in sucks.
Yeah. But it does seem like at least the shows are like treating like the like snap and then the blip like with like seriousness. It's like, hopefully like the Spider-Man Far From Home thing was just like just a one just for that movie, because like they treated it like such a joke, but like it was like this horrific like traumatic thing that happened. So like, and like definitely WandaVision dealt with it, and then this now this fucking Winter Soldier seems like it's dealing with it too. So yeah, definitely gonna keep watching and see what's going on with that. Did you see anything else, Chris, besides those two things?
Yeah, I saw a really pretentious horror movie.
Okay.
Oh no, I gotta remember what the title was. I just saw it and I was like, God damn, I hate this movie. Oh, it was like that zombie movie with like Bill Murray.
Yes. The Dead Don't Die.
The Dead Don't Die, that's it. I was like watching this, I was like, why is this like a movie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a Jim Jarmusch movie, so I mean,
yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know about him until I saw the whole thing. I was like, oh, what? I'm not really too familiar with his work. Well, I mean, I am with like Broken Flowers, but at least that was like a.
I think he also did Ghost Dog. Way of the Samurai.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell then? Like, because those were like plots that made sense. This is a meta movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a movie that is letting you know it's about like global warming, like subtle hints, and then it, like, it's too late to change, and then you can either like die fighting it or like accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much every character is just like a different opinion of how global warming is working for people, where it's like, oh, old people don't believe it, young people are still trying to fight it, like certain people at certain ages like come to accept the reality or like say no, there's still hope maybe for the next generation as they fight zombies. And then there's just bizarre commentary, like Adam Driver does fourth wall breaking scenes where he goes like, well, I don't know this part of the movie because I didn't read this part of the script. Like, he says shit like that during the movie. The comedy at times is very deadpan and it's like funny that way. But if they stuck to that, that would be fine. Like, you know, just kind of like, hey, like, are this zombies? There's no procedure for zombies. Like, I wasn't prepared for zombies. Who knew, like, I'll train for zombies? Like, things like that said is very funny. It's just that, like, it just drags on and then it just gets artsy in the end. Like, very weirdly artsy. And I start hating movies. I try something new halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And the actors, they're like, it's a weekend project to them. This was just like a fun project for them to do more than a serious, let's make a zombie movie, which I get, because they didn't want to basically make a zombie movie. And if you're expecting a zombie movie, great job. Like, don't call the movie The Dead Don't Die, because I was misled. But it's definitely a movie that if you've seen a lot of zombie movies and you just want to see something kind of different and see like an art house zombie movie, then yeah. But I just was not mentally ready for an art house zombie movie. The trailer of this movie doesn't tell you that it's gonna be an art house movie.
Yeah, I think they're trying to sell it as more like a Shaun of the Dead style thing.
And yeah, they tricked me. I was like, okay, I'll see this. This I haven't seen this. And then I watched it and I was like, well, I am tricked. Like, I saw it on TV, so I didn't pay anything. But I imagine if I saw this in theaters, I'd just be like, I want my money back.
Mm-hmm.
So just be warned, it's not a Shaun of the Dead like movie, because I thought it was. And yeah. That is it. I can't even, like, the scenario, the plot is just, like, this small town gets invaded by zombies, and everyone in the small town either, like, freaks out and does nothing, gets overtaken by zombies, or, like, kind of does, like, certain things to protect themselves, but, like, a majority of the characters, like, don't make it. So it's like any other zombie movie, but then it's, like, how they die, their whole stance on it is very bland. There's Tom Waits is in it, as like some dude in the woods who comments on all the things, and I guess he serves as like the director's commentary on the whole process, where it's like, oh, these silly characters, no matter what they do, they can't quite make it out. It's like, all right, like, it's just metaphorical, because it can't be metaphorical if you're just the guy saying it. So I had a problem with that. I don't know, maybe I gotta be in that, like mood, that, like, oh, it's not, maybe I did more drugs, like, if I did a lot of, you know, like, it just, like, I'm so angry because it's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like, I looked up online, and there was a lot of people who agreed, it was just, like, misleading.
Yeah. So, anything else, Chris?
That's it. Just my warning about The Dead Don't Die.
Yeah.
If you don't watch.
Well, I saw the other huge superhero thing that happened last week, which was Zack Snyder's Justice League, aka the Snyder Cut, hit HBO Max last week. Actually, it re-hits HBO Max today we're recording this, because the black and white version is out now, so you watch either the regular version or the black and white version if you want. So, and apparently Zack Snyder says the black and white version is like his like definitive version of that movie. So
that's what every like director that made a black and white version of their movie will say. So I take that a grain of salt.
Yeah, it'll probably be a while before I check out the black and white version, because like that it's definitely a commitment. Like, that was basically my entire Saturday last week was basically just the Snyder, like, Zack Snyder Justice League, because yeah, it's 4 hours long. It's not, like, it doesn't, like, I've definitely seen, like, shorter movies that felt way longer than this. Like, it definitely, it's 4 hours, but it feels like it moves at a pretty good pace. So, like, it's not, like, there's not a lot of downtime. It's not like you're, like, oh, my God, I'm only an hour into this movie. Like, so, yeah, I don't think the runtime is too big a factor. And there's also like the I don't know if you heard about the aspect ratio thing, Chris, where it's like,
yeah, it's artificially shortened.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's for like IMAX ratio or something, or like if it eventually ever like shows, becomes like an IMAX movie, then that's the way, like, it's the way he wants it to look for an IMAX or something. But it's definitely jarring when you first start watching it, but then eventually I think you do kind of just like get used to it. You don't really notice the bars on the side anymore. So both those things are, like, I didn't, at least to me, like, they weren't, like, big, like, negatives, or, like, I didn't really notice them too much. And, yeah, this movie is infinitely better than the theatrical version, which, I mean, the theatrical, it wasn't hard to top the theatrical version, but it's just, it's so crazy how much better this is than that version. Like, there's so much, like characters that were, like, weren't even in that movie are in this movie. Like, characters get more things to do that were in that movie. Like, the plot is, like, the skeleton of the plot is the same, but there's, like, so much more to it in this version.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just, like, all, like, Steppenwolf is, like, an actual, like, character in this movie now. Like, in like, the theatrical version, he was just, like, such a, like, the most generic of, like, generic, like, comic book villains. Like, he was, like, up there with, like, Malekith or something from, like, Dark, like, Thor Dark World, where it's just, like, a nothing of a character. And, like, now he has, like, actual, like, you understand, like, his motivation now. Like, he is, like, he did something to, like, he, like, betrayed Darkseid or, to, like, tried to betray Darkseid. Now he's, like, has to, like,
prove himself.
Yeah, prove himself, and he's, like, trying to, like, appease Darkseid to, like, be able to, like, come home to Apocalypse, and,
Oh, so he's, like, motivation besides just doing things.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then there's, like, so much more mythology about, like, the Mother Boxes and Apocalypse and Darkseid and what, all that stuff going on that, like, they just, like, very, very rushed through in, like, the theatrical version. Which is probably one of the coolest things about, like, this Snyder Cut is just, like, all the, like, big mythology stuff, like, setting up Darkseid, which, unfortunately, is probably never gonna, like, pay off, because they're probably not gonna, like, follow this up ever, but, and, yeah, and then, like, the Lord of the Rings battle, if you remember, like, the big, like, battle where, like, the Amazons and, like, men and, like, Atlantis, like, unite together to, like, stop the original invasion.
Yeah.
Which in the theatrical version was Steppenwolf. Now in this version it's Darkseid, and that sequence is so much bigger, so much longer. You get to like see like the actual Green Lantern who was there. He's like this alien Green Lantern, so he's there.
I thought he was in the original.
You see like a very brief like Green Lantern flash coming out.
But then he gets killed and his ring disappears.
Yeah, but there's definitely like way more of him. In this cut, like Zeus and Ares are there fighting, like against Darkseid, and like Ares is actually the one who, like delivers like this like almost killing blow to Darkseid that makes him forces him to retreat.
Mm.
And they also like get into like the anti-life formula, which is on Earth, which is like the big like Darkseid thing. Like he wants like this like formula that proves that like free will and like life is meaningless, and then it like turns people into like his slaves.
So that's when the anti-boxes?
The mother boxes are still like mother boxes are still like the like terraforming. They turn like planets into Apocalypse basically. But then there's also in addition to the mother boxes, there's the anti-life formula, which is like embedded into like the crust of the Earth.
This is a lot more plot.
Yes. And then on the Justice League side of things, like there's so many positive changes. Like there's like they got rid of like. You remember in like the theatrical version, like the Flash was like afraid of everything,
mm-hmm.
and so he got rid of that. And he, like the Flash is a way better character. He has an actual like introduction scene now where like he saves Iris from like a car crash.
I saw that from the trailer.
Yeah, it's sort of like this like meet cute like she's like in a car crash like they see each other on the street and then like she's in a car crash, but then like Barry manages to like stop time and like rescue her, and then so that's like his first scene. Instead of just like him, just like Batman showing up at his like hideout and like recruiting him. Yeah, and then they got rid of his like fear of everything. There's some more like tie-ins like directly to like the Aquaman movie. So like William Dafoe shows up. He wasn't in like the theatrical version at all, but he shows up and kind of sets up more stuff that like leads into like the Aquaman movie. But I think definitely the biggest thing is Cyborg. Like Cyborg has an actual like full character arc, like he's an actual character now in this movie. He was like a MacGuffin basically in the theatrical version, like but like he has an actual like full big movie long arc that like completes his character and like makes him like an actual like likable like fleshed out character. Like it's insane that they had all the stuff for Cyborg and they just like cut all of it. Like this is like a really awesome sequence where like he's like listening to like a tape where like his father's like explained like what how his like explain to him how he's basically like, since he can like talk to like all technology on Earth, like he's basically a god now. I mean, he's like, he could like destroy the Earth with like every nuclear weapon. Like he could launch every nuclear weapon on Earth and then blow up the Earth. But it's like, or like do like basically whatever he wants. But he's like, he has to like decide to not do that, and that's what would make him a hero.
That's like his decision.
Yeah, and then his whole art, and it's his whole thing of like he starts out and he's like, oh, I'm a monster. Don't look at me. Like I hate everyone. And then his arc is like throughout the whole movie. Then he's like realizes like, oh, I have these powers. I can help people. And like this team of like other superhero, like these gods on this team, like are like my equals, and like they like look to be as an equal. And like I'm happy with like myself now. Like I'm even though I'm in this like metal body, like I'm still me, and like I like me. Yeah. So yeah, so all the cyborg stuff is awesome. There's also some other things like they got rid of like there was like a weird like in the theatrical version there was just a weird like manufactured like drama between Batman and Wonder Woman where like Batman was just like, well, why don't you show yourself, like you gotta live, like Superman's dead, like, and then you keep hiding from the world. Why don't you like get out there, like make help people?
Yeah, there was a little brief tussle.
Yeah,
that they fixed in this.
They totally got rid of that, thankfully. So they're like Batman and Wonder Woman are basically just like a united front together. Like they're like on the same page. Like yeah, get the team together, like stop this thing from happening. Oh, there's a couple things that they added that are they're like cool, I guess, but like they also like just don't really make sense, or like they still could have been cut out even if those like the full like Zack Snyder version of this movie. So Martian Manhunter is in this movie. His first scene is he shows up. There's a scene where I think it was like actually earlier in the original version, but there's a scene where like Martha Kent shows up and like gives like a pep talk to Lois and like kind of like gets her out of her depression, because she's like in the Snyder cut, like Lois has been like just like not going to work and just like goes to like the like Superman memorial every day and is in mourning still, which in the theatrical version she was like working, but she was like just doing like horrible like stupid fluff pieces like cat weddings and stuff.
All right.
And I don't know if you remember, like there's like the one line in the theatrical version where like Martha Kent was like, "Man, Clark, you say you were the thirstiest reporter he's ever seen." So it's like all these awful jokes that got cut for this version. But it's a much better like Martha Lois scene. But then you find like the coda of that scene is that like Martha goes out in the hallway outside of Lois's apartment and turns into Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. So it was Martian Manhunter as Martha Kent like giving like Lois's pep talk to like get back to work and stuff, yeah. Which is like, okay, like why did Lois need this pep talk?
Why is he so
concerned about like? I guess the only explanation I guess is because it's like I guess his like cover that he's been using for like the most time has been like, do you remember in Batman v Superman there was like the like. I think was he Man of Steel 2, like Harry Lennox from like the Blacklist?
Like the military.
So that's Martian Manhunter.
I figured. I mean, they're saying that he was. That was the connecting thing.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just a weird like, what? Why does Martian Manhunter care about Lois being sad? I don't know. And then he shows up at the end, and then the end scene's better because at least it's setting up something that's probably never going to happen, but like at least he just shows up. If he didn't show up before, like he just showed up at the end and it was like, hey, I'm here now. Like we got to like do this. Like that's like a better scene. But like it's just the first scene where like he shows up before it just makes the last scene weird. It's also like, why didn't you help us fight like fucking Steppenwolf if you were like around the entire time?
Right.
And then the other scene that's like just. Like doesn't really like it probably could have been cut is the nightmare sequence, like the big like post-apocalyptic dream sequence that like Batman has at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean it looks cool, I guess, but like it's the most superfluous thing in the movie. Like, it has no connection to anything else that happened in the movie. It's all just set up for a sequel that's not gonna happen, probably.
That's the sad thing. It's like it's hyping up, or people think, oh, I'm ready for the next one. It's like that. There is no next one.
Yeah, it's also just like it's just a bizarre spotlight for Jared Leto Joker, who's still not great. It's just like it's just him and like Batman monologuing to each other. So I mean, if they cut it would have made the movie probably better and shorter. So
you got complaints about basically some of the content.
Yeah, there's still scenes that could have been cut still, even though like most of the stuff that got restored in this version is way way better. There's still some stuff that like is like did you really need this Jared Leto Joker scene that you had to shoot like a month ago? But yeah, it's definitely one of the best like DC recent movies. Like this version is such a better movie. There's like tons more and like way better shot action. There's like a lot of the action scenes are extended, or like there's like new ones. And yeah, I mean, they got rid of all the stupid jokes from the Whedon version, which definitely, after you watch this movie, like you're gonna be like why did they cut this and then replace it with like horrible jokes, or just like objectively worse versions of these scenes? Like,
I guess I can't wait for the version later, or some fan doing a play-by-play of like different scenes where it's like, remember this, and here's this other take.
I feel like if you watch the like Red Letter Media review, those guys go into like a really good like beat by beat thing of like, this is different. This is how the theatrical version was. This is what's different now, like sort of thing.
Oh, okay. I kind of know they reviewed it, but it's also like an hour long, so. On top of watching a 4-hour long movie, then watch an hour long review.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say, even though it's definitely a commitment, like you definitely have to like plan and like be like, all right, I'm gonna like my whole entire day is like gonna be just watching Justice League, I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
And the original version is just like burn every copy of like the theatrical version now, just like get rid of that. There's literally no reason to watch that version anymore. Like if it wasn't already gone from HBO Max, I'm sure that version is gone. So that's pretty much what I've been watching this week, so we can wrap things up. Yeah, definitely. I would say, like we mentioned, we have our Highlander commentary. You can go like sync it up with us and watch that along with us. We also have our Game Box article for this month, so you can check out what games we've been playing for the month of March, and a bunch of other stuff is up on the site as well. Have everyone check all that stuff out. And so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week. For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.